So, we're working on the list of questions that you all sent in. And if you're a new young person, every few years we try to send around papers and ask you to write down things that you would like to study or things that you would like to know. And we encourage you to do it anonymous. That way that it's not embarrassing. And there's been some really good questions and we've been working through them. So one of our questions recently was, what are the basic beliefs of other religions and why are they wrong? And so my thought was, I remember as a kid often being asked, what church denomination are you? Has anybody ever been asked that? What denomination are you? Okay, it's kind of a little bit challenging question. Did you know how to answer it first? You're like, don't know. I go to that round church, Church of God. Well, where's your headquarters? They are. That's right. That's right. So what I thought when we started this, so the first lesson we did on August 18th, and we talked about the top world religions. I thought it might be good to kind of talk about that a little bit first. So if you missed that lesson, and I know quite a few of you were unable to come that night, I made a handout, okay, and it's self-led. So if you read this part here, you can fill in this part here. And if you're not sure about page 2, here's the activity we did that night. And we put sticky notes on here to differentiate different beliefs, practices, the books, the founders, and all that. So this will be, I'll leave this here as well if you want to check your answers and make sure. I would encourage you to do that if you have questions about, that's more about Christianity. How do we know Christianity is the right religion? So my thought tonight, with this question about other denominations and how do we know what is the right one? First of all, what is a denomination? Because how in the world are we going to answer that question if we don't know? So when you've had somebody ask you, what denomination are you? You might have not known for sure what they were asking. And so I was thinking about, as I was studying, I thought this was really interesting. The word denomination and the word denominator have the same root word. Now, who has had this come up in your education? Find the common denominator. Yeah. And would that be English, foreign language, recess, or math? That'd be math, all right? So we're talking about fractions. So the denominator is the top number or the bottom number? So it's the bottom number. Very good. So let's look at it this way. If you have a whole pie, how many pieces do you have?
However many times you cut it.
A whole pie.
One.
You only have one piece. It's undivided. But when we divide that pie, so if I divide it like this, how many parts
four.
Are there?
Four.
There are four. So the denominator tells me how many parts I divided it into. Now, if you have one part, then that's going to be 1/4. If you have two parts, that's? You have three parts, that's, and you have four parts, we're back to the whole. So, what happened was I divided the pie. So the word denomination and the word denominator have the same root word. What do you think that word is?
Divide.
Denominations are something that has been divided. Have you ever went to the bank and you had a $100 bill and you're like, I need to break this into smaller bills? And they say to you, what denominations do you want? Don't tell them Episcopalian, Baptist, and what are they wanting to know?
What size bills?
Oh, okay, I'd like to have this many 20s, this many 5s, and this many 1s. You're taking the $100 bill and you're breaking it or dividing it into smaller denominations. So when we study religious denominations, I want you to remember it's taking a whole piece and dividing it into pieces. Is the Church of God a denomination? That's our main question that we're going to talk about tonight. Does it matter which denomination you choose? Brother Decker talked so much this morning. I was astounded at how close this parallel what we're talking about here tonight. And he told us that the thousands of denominations that are in our world today used to be the newspaper came out every Saturday, and there would be a religious section in there, and it would show you multiple churches in your area, and there would be a catchy slogan on that page. Do you know what that would typically say? Go to the church of your choice. Eeny, meeny, miny. Does it matter? Can we just pick one? Well, this is the one that my great-grandparents and my grandparents and my whole family, we've been here forever. So this is the one we should be in. Does it matter? Are they all right? Are all the denominations right? As long as you're sincere and you go to church, is that okay? Or is only one right? And how are you going to know? How are you going to know what's right and what's not right? Are some of them right, some of them wrong, all right? Some, that is very, very confusing. And division causes confusion. So my scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul was talking. There was some people there that were having admiration of men. I like this one, and I like that one, and I'm following him, and I like what he has to say. And Paul said, now this I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, that was Peter, I'm of Christ. And what did Paul say to those questions? What did I just do? Divide. I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, becoming groups, separating from the whole. And he said, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? That's what denominations are showing, a divided Christ. How did we get so many denominations? So, I would like to have a couple of volunteers. I've made handouts for this tonight. If I could have somebody do this side and this side. Pass out. Well, that's not very even. All right. Brother Jake, if you do that side. Brother Isaac, if you do this side. So I've made a chart. This chart is similar to the Revelation chart. It's similar to the Revelation chart that I have hanging up behind me. And what I want to show is how we got from one church, the church of the Bible, the church that Jesus shed his blood for, on the cross, on the day of Pentecost, that church was born. How did we get from that one church? And that's what you see there at the top of your chart. All right. And we also see it right here, AD 33. How did we get from that one to the thousands upon thousands of denominations that we have today? All right. So if you'll look on your chart, is there one left for me to, yes, thank you. Well, I'm going to take it. Brother Jacob, I'm taking yours, so you grab one of yours for you.
Fair enough.
Thank you, sir. All right. All right, so we're going to keep your eye on this left side. God has always had a people, and you're going to see there, this is the true church of God coming down through here. But this is kind of a history lesson, in a way, and if you like history, you'll enjoy it. And if you don't, hopefully I'll tell some things that maybe that'll help you to enjoy it. So the Revelation chart, when it comes down, sometimes is it a little bit scary, especially if you're little. We got one grandbaby that's scared of lions. So I heard her talking about the lion on the chart. I'm like, oh dear, here we go. She was scared of the lion at the baby shower. She was scared of the lion, Sister Karen stories. There was one sister said, who knew that there were so many lions in the Bible? There was a lion every day. So that Revelation chart can be a little startling, maybe if you don't understand. But it's if you've been in our Sunday school class and we've done these lessons, and you recall that, it's just a history of the Church of God telling you, here's the foes that she's faced. Here's how she's got victory. There's some more foes that she faced and the enemy. Here's how she got victory. Here's some foes you're going to face in the future. Here's how you're going to get victory. And today, amazing thing about this chart is we can do what the Apostle John could not do, and we can take history and lay it right beside Revelation and go, oh, that's what that means. That's what that means. Because history has proved out and explained what God was trying to tell John when he received this Revelation vision. So we have the morning time church, but you see here, there is something that happens when the sky gets darker. So they go into what's called an apostasy. An apostasy is when you let down on truth. You begin to not believe it anymore, discount it, say it's not necessary. And so what happens is there'll be a downward spiritual slide, and that's what we see happening. All right, so you'll see here that true church of God, God's always had a church. Now, sometimes the church had to go into hiding because of the great persecution, and so you did not see a visible true church of God. What time period would that have been? The Dark Ages. What was happening in the Dark Ages that the true people of God had to hide? There was great persecution. The cry was, be Catholic or die. And that was certainly what they were doing. So we see God's people in hiding. Literally, they would have to be in the catacombs. They were in caves. They would worship there. Sometimes they would live there so that they would not be found out. But God still had a people, just they were not visible. Like we can see the visible church of God today. We can drive down the street. We can see a building. We can see people assembling. But God always had a people. They had light and understanding. But the visible church, the majority of the people, were going into darkness. This is where the denominations are going to come from, this dividing. Already there at the top, we have one became two. So for one to become two, you have to do what?
Divide.
That's right. Was that God's will? Of course not. Of course not. All right, now look over here on the left. You'll see God's people, they got that message on justification. The just shall live by faith. And God's using that. See the arrow that goes back over and it points to the 1500s? So God uses his people to work on this apostate church or these ones that have been divided. So that arrow right there. And he does that through what great reformer? There was many, but what's the greatest reformer that we probably know? In the Dark Ages, right here at the end. Martin Luther came out with the light on what scripture? The just shall live by faith. So the Roman Catholic Church was teaching salvation by works. You got to work to earn your salvation. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Romans 1 and 17 says, the just shall live by faith. And with that little bit of light, we see began to break that exclusive rule that Roman Catholicism held over the entire world. So I'm touching briefly on some of this. When you're in our Sunday school class, we'll go into it much more depth. It's very fascinating, sadly, to see the control the Roman Catholic Church had over kings and emperors. So not only did Martin Luther break from the church at this time, King Henry VIII, who was by no means a godly man, also broke from the Catholic Church. Does anybody know why he broke from the Catholic Church?
Divorce.
He wanted to divorce his wife, and the Pope said,
no.
So he said, you know what? I'll start my own church. And we see where a lot of denominations start like that. I don't like that doctrine. I'm going to start my own church, and I don't like that opinion, and I don't like that preacher, and I don't like that color of carpet. And pretty soon, divide. And what did Paul say? Is Christ divided? Remember that, young people. Is Christ divided? So, we see from that, Lutheranism began. The Church of England began, and others. There are some denominations. Is the Church of God a denomination? That's your question. Keep that in your brain while we're talking. All right, so some time went on, and God began to restore the light on holiness or sanctification. Now remember, we've talked about this before. On our gospel trumpeter, which I have a picture of here, the banner shows we have three parts of truth. So justification was restored under Martin Luther and others. Now we see sanctification, holy living, living free from sin. That was under the Wesleyan brothers. Once again, you'll see an arrow where God's people, God's working through his people to try to affect these denominations, pull people out. You need to leave this false religion. You need to wake up to God wants a holy people. And that was under the Wesleyan brothers. The Wesleyan brothers held true. But once they passed away, people began to revere them. And so what denomination do you think came from that? The Wesleyans, right? So many denominations also formed about that same time. The Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Pentecostals, divide. So our pie is getting more and more divided. is Christ divided? So we see here, more time passes, and in the late 1800s, God begins to work through brethren like D.S. Warner. It restores another part of light, and that is unity, truth, especially the truth on the right name, the biblical name. You can't just pick a name. Sometimes I've seen churches and I'm like, who voted on that? Some very interesting names. Does it matter? Does it matter? Does the name matter? When Brother Steve and I had children, we didn't get the birth certificate out and say, you know, I'm going to look up, I think Smith is a nice last name. What do you think, Steve? What? I think Jones is a last good last name. What do you think, Steve? It's a lot easier to spell than Strelucky. What do you think Brother Steve would have said to me if I'd have told him that? Absolutely not. I want people to know I'm the Father. And we keep them in the Father's name. And when you're born again, you don't say, oh, I like the Baptist name, the Presbyterian name, the Wesleyan name, the Episcopalian name. Jesus says, no, keep them in the Father's name. Well, if you're in the Father's name, then what's the name of your church? God's church. Church of God. And like Brother Mike said the other day, and we taught this several years ago in our lesson, your name is Elise Bremer God. If you're a child of God, Lucas is Lucas DeVries God. That's your last name because you are in God's family. And so God began to restore the name, the biblical name. What's in a name? Well, a lot of things are in a name. A lot of times, and I'll touch on this in a minute, you look at the religion, the name of the religion, you can understand a lot of what they believe. You can understand their core doctrines by their name. A lot is in a name. All right, so now we see here in the 1800s, D.S. Warner began to call people out. He and a group actually traveled around in a wagon, in a horse-drawn wagon. They would come into a town. The singers would be singing. He would have a group of very excellent singers. I think Ira Sankey was one. And they would begin to sing and they would draw a crowd. This is before the days of technology. Before the days of air conditioning. Today, if that happened, you probably wouldn't even know. Your windows are all shut and everybody's on their phone. So you wouldn't even see it. So that's why that didn't happen today. It had to happen in 1880. People would come. What's going on? What's going on? What are you singing about? Who are you? What do you believe? And pretty soon he'd start preaching. D.S. Warner would start preaching. And there'd be somebody say, hey, I own a building over here. You're welcome to come. And so the next night, they'd have church services in that building. And a revival would start, and then a church would start in that location. And what happens was he began to preach the truth on what God thought about denominations. Because what do denominations do? Divide and separate and confuse. And so we see there that began to become known as the Anderson Movement. Anderson, Indiana was where a lot of this took place. They had a paper come out that they put out for many years. But light is progressive. Is anybody in here walking in the same amount of light you were walking in the first day you got saved? Can you do today what you were able to do the first day you got saved? Why not? Your understanding is being opened up. Take it this way. Who in here has small children still in your home? I know the Lucas family, Lucas and Lauren, the DeVries family. Back here, we've got some with little children. All right, Sister Hannah, let's start with you. Are the rules for you the same as they are for, what's the youngest little boy's name? Ezekiel. Kind of? Does Ezekiel have to make his bed? Do you have to make your bed? Oh, maybe I shouldn't ask. Do you have to do household chores? Do you have to babysit? Can Ezekiel babysit? Yeah, I didn't think so. All right, if Ezekiel cries at the dinner table, or you cry at the dinner table the same way, is mom and dad going to react the same way? There's differences. Why? Are they prejudiced in that house? Do they prefer one child over the other? We got maturity. Sister Hannah understands. When I was a child, I spake as a child, acted as a child, I cried like a child. Now that I'm a grown woman, or I'm getting to be a grown woman, I'm going to quit doing that, and I'm putting it behind me. So light is progressive. Understanding about spiritual things is progressive. And so as that light progresses, what happens if you go, I don't like that light, and you stand still? And God tells you, don't date that boy. I like that boy. And you stand still. Does the light stand still with you? God's like, oh, you're right. We'll just hang out right here for a while. No, he does not. Like a flashlight moving across the stage, that light keeps moving. And if you don't keep moving, what's going to happen to your ability to see? It's going to turn to darkness. And so in movement after movement, you see God bringing about understanding. He brings great light. And pretty soon, over time, these people find a piece of light progresses, and they don't like what's coming next. And so they, and they stand still, and they don't move. And they go into darkness, and they form a denomination. Oh, it's almost like the Church of God. It used to be the Church of God. We believe mostly like the Church of God, but, and so we see that also happened with the Anderson movement. They began to let down. They began to change. Actually, some of the reformers came out and said, we don't quite believe as strict as we used to. I mean, D.S. Warner was, he was a dreamer, and that scripture that he would preach didn't really mean that. And they began to change what they had believed. And so God had to call out what the scripture calls a remnant of the remnant, another small part of the part. And we call them today different categories. One can be seventh seal light here in the Church of God. Many of the pastors that have preached here, you've probably heard, talk about having to leave the Anderson movement. Brother Emerson Wilson was one. Brother Stegmeyer was one. His pastor there in Montana was one. Why? Because they were letting down. They were letting down on vital doctrines, on modesty, on some holiness issues. And today, Anderson movement doesn't look really a whole lot different than the major, than quite a few other denominations. And they also have joined the World Council of Churches, which is for a lesson in Sunday school that we will talk about in depth. But that is a concern as well. So we see the denominations. And God uses his true people, so that's here on this side, to begin to affect them. But that message is, come out of her, my people. Don't stay in that denomination. Don't stay there. So, how to know what is right? So many church groups, so many denominations. How do we know what is right? And I can be up here and I can say, this is the right one. This is the right one. But you've got to know it for you. You can't do it just because I said it, because mom and dad believe it, or the pastor teaches it. You have to know it for you. So the devil's trick, one of his tricks, is to make it so confusing you'll just go and give up. Throw your hands up in the air. I don't know. Religion's just a way for people to make money. And you hear people say that. So it's, while God has a true church, he's always had a people. It's important to him. And you go back to the whole reason why there is a church. God wants to have a relationship with us, and then he knows that your strength and unity. So I'm going to bring this believer in and this believer in, and that's, there's going to be strength in that. The devil knows that there's strength and unity, so he's going to work hard to break one away and break one away to lessen our strength. But can they all be right? Let's think about that for a minute. We talked about this in our lesson the other night. Can two things be that are opposite be the truth at the same time? For instance, we have one denomination that says you cannot live free from sin. No. And then we have the Church of God says you have to live free from sin. Can both of those be true at the same time? They cannot. All right, what about this? God sees your heart, doesn't matter what you wear, just make sure your heart's right. Or the Church of God says God requires holy living, which includes modesty. Can they both be right at the same time? They cannot. What about this? Salvation is through works. Work hard, harder. Do more. accomplish more, give more to the church, or salvation is by faith alone. Can both be true at the same time? Not if I'm saying it's only by works. Now, if you have faith, we're going to see some works. But it can't. That's not how you earn your salvation. Why? Why can our salvation not be earned by works? Lest ye boast. Lest ye boast. God knows that. All right, what about this? Once saved, always saved. Or you can backslide. Can they both be true at the same time? So all denominations and the Church of God cannot be true, cannot be right. We have to have God help us to understand. It's a great trick of the devil. Oh, just find the church that fits you. And that's where you should go. But is that what God says? Is that what God's word says? This causes confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. And so we need a standard to measure something by. Brother Steve, could you pop out your measuring tape? If I want to know if something's 2 inches, and I say, I think it's about like that. Brother Steve says, that's 3 inches. Okay, hold on a minute. Thank you. No, you're fine. I said, I think that's 2 inches right there. I'm sure of it. And when I build our house.
I'm sure you're wrong.
And when I build whatever it is I'm going to build, because it won't be a house, that's going to be my standard. That's 3 inches right there. And Brother Steve says, you're wrong. And I said, no, show me with your hand how big is 2 inches. Show me with your hand. Don't show me your measure tape.
2 inches. About that right there.
Okay, so now we're having a disagreement. We're disagreeing on how big is 2 inches.
You just moved your finger.
I know. So what? How could we resolve this? How could we find out what's the truth? We need a standard. He's got a tape measure. All right. Who's the right one?
I know who's the right one, but is mine 3? You have 3?
So Brother Steve was right.
2.
Okay. All right. So when he gets the standard out, then we know what the truth is. Brother Ben, could you hold up your standard for me? Here's the standard. One church says this, one church says that. How do we know? We get our Bible out. We get our Bible out. Now, on the back of your paper, and we're not going to have time for this tonight, but here's an activity for you. It's not hard, but if you need the answers next week and you're stumped, let me know. Here's what the true church of God teaches. Christ is the head of the church. Other churches say, well, our headquarters is in this state, this place, that place. So there's an activity. By the Bible, use the standard to know what these doctrines are. Again, is the Church of God a denomination? Denomination is a group with the same beliefs. So we believe this and we're going to go under this name. And then we believe this way and we're going to go under this name. And often they're organized. There's a lot of organization. There'll be people that'll have higher positions and lower positions. So a good example of this would be the Roman Catholic Church. Where's their headquarters?
Vatican.
Vatican City, Rome, Italy. That is correct. Where'd we say the Church of God's headquarters is? Where the head is. And the head is Christ. It's heaven. That is correct. All right. But their head is the Pope. They have organized levels. They have a Pope and a Cardinal and a priest and a deacon and archbishop and bishop and I don't even know. They have a lot of levels, a lot of organization. The Church of God does not. And so when we compare this with the Church of God, we say salvation makes you a member. A lot of other churches will say, come join our church. We'll put you on the church book. We'll vote you in. Take catechism classes and you can be in this church. But the true Church of God looks to the standard, and the standard, God's word says, salvation makes you a member. As soon as you're born again, you're born into this church. So we need to look at the standard. What's the standard say? Quickly, in some of the denominations, I had said that you often can see a lot about what they believe in their name. For instance, Baptists. What do you think that brings to mind. So John the Baptist. And a large component of that is baptism. All right? They vote in new members. They call it opening the doors of the church. Now, who's the door of the church? Jesus Christ. Are you able to open that door for anyone? Absolutely not. All right, Methodists. Brother Decker touched on this morning, named after John Wesley. Why? His methods. It was good. He had a very methodical in his reading and his praying and his Bible studying, but they named it after the methods. The Pentecostals. What comes to mind when you hear the word Pentecostal? It's a day. They named it after a day, the day of Pentecost. And they're strong in what? Speaking in tongues. What about the apostolics? Apostles. So they have based their name on the apostles. And they also believe in speaking in tongues. I think there is some differences between the two. The Church of Christ believes that baptism is a must. You must be baptized physically. And to that I say, what about the thief on the cross? I didn't see any baptism happening there. And on we can go. Each denomination has their core beliefs. Many of them have a founder. For instance, the Mormons, who would that founder be? Joseph Smith. That is right. And they came out with a different book called the Book of Mormon. And so, a lot of different denominations. But once again, they're dividing. And I come back to my scripture in 1 Corinthians 1, 12 and 13. If denominations are dividing people, God's people, they can't worship together because they're separated by their denomination. And in time, if you look here on your chart, it wasn't just they just divided once, but pretty soon you've got the Protestants and you've got the Catholics who were so strongly against each other, they literally put armies on battlefields to kill each other. All in the name of Christ. All in the name of God. So that clearly is not of God when you see that attitude, that spirit. What kind of a picture of God's church is this? Showing, is Christ divided, as Paul said. So to divide up the body, because we are the body of Christ. God's people are the body of Christ. If I had a body up here, and we took the arm off, and we put it over there, and we took the leg off, and we put it over there, and we took the head and put it back there, what would we have? Or what if I sewed an extra arm onto it, and an extra leg onto it? It'd be strange. Frankenstein. Christ is not divided, but we see the religious world dividing. In John 10 and 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are 5, 7, 15, 1, 1. Unity. We're one. We are one. And just as Jesus and the Father are one, what is God's will for his people? If Jesus, when he was here physically, his body was here physically. When he went to heaven, we are now his body. We are the church of God. We're his body. If Jesus and the Father were one, Jesus' body, the church, and the Father should be one, right? Jesus said in John 17 and 21, that they all may be one. That was his prayer. He said, it's my will that just like you and I have a great relationship, Dad, Father, Dad, I want the people of God to have that same relationship. Why is that important? If we look at the rest of the scripture, it says that the world may believe. That the world may believe that God sent me. When the world, the unsaved, sees all this dividing up, are they convinced that this is the right way? Are they convinced that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? It is hindering the message of the gospel. That is the reason for all of the denominations, all of the dividing, all of the disagreements to the place that we separate and refuse to worship with each other. We see here on this side of the paper. How can these people be preaching unity when there's so much dividing and division and denominations? I hope this has helped your understanding a little better of what a denomination is. And so let's go back to our original question, young people. Is the Church of God a denomination? No. What key word lets you know that it is not?
Divide.
If I don't leave you with any other thought, I want you to remember, denomination, denominator, means divide. Is Christ divided? If he's not, then denominations are wrong. All right, I'm going to return this back over to our chairperson. Thank you for your good attention.